One thing about cybersecurity, events never let you take it for granted. Every week seems to bring a new and lurid story about a cyber problem. The Trump administration is continuing the tradition of White Houses having cybersecurity policies. Joining me with analysis of the month-old executive order is Karen Evans, chairman of the U.S. Cyber Challenge and former IT executive during the George W. Bush administration. Karen, good to have you on.
Oh, thanks for having me.
What's your take on this executive order? It seems to have some good specification about the cyber workforce, which is something I know you've been following and been interested in.
Well, I'm really excited that the workforce development piece stayed in the executive order, because what it really is doing is taking a look at what has been done across the board, and then you have to give a plan, and you have to really take a look at what are the effects of what is happening with the curricula in education, training, apprenticeship programs, which I think is really important, and it specifically mentions that. So it allows for that analysis to go across, and then what are the best things to be able to implement and address the workforce needs for the nation.
Now, that initiative you mentioned, the National Initiative for Cyber Education, or NICE, that's a program at NIST, and that's been going some time, but I think it seems to be under maybe revitalization now.
The NICE program at NIST has done a lot of really good work to build communities across the United States, both within academia as well as industry, and really taking a look at what are the right skill sets, what are the types of things, and then also looking at how do you put a framework over that so that curricula can be developed to develop those skill sets, but that, from a lack of a better term, a taxonomy. So when you start talking about a forensics analysis person and the skill sets that are needed, that it means the same thing in the intelligence community as well as, for example, the Marine Mammal Commission or over at GE. And so that's really great for people that are progressing through this field, because now your skills and the way that you describe it and the capabilities that you've demonstrated on the job are going to have meaning across the board, and that you don't have to necessarily reestablish that every time you apply for a new job.
And what about the whole management of it in the order? There is definitely lip service, at least, to risk management, to the risk management approach, and to modernizing IT systems so that they are less subject to cybersecurity attacks. How thorough does it go there?
I've been reading a lot of other folks' comments as it relates to the executive order, and I think some people have interpreted this as this is a plan for a plan. But the way that I've interpreted this executive order, and several of the folks that we all have discussed this, is that this isn't a plan for the plan. What this executive order recognizes is that this is not a green field, that a lot of work has already been done. And when you take a look at these deadlines, these are short order deadlines. So what it's really trying to get at with the agencies is, look, you've been working on this, you've been analyzing this, you know what needs to be done. You, in short order, get this together and submit it in so it can be looked at comprehensively across the board for the entire United States. So to have a turnaround using risk management and saying, hey, we want you to document what risk mitigation processes that you may have in place, what kind of acceptance choices you're making, that is the lip service we've been saying. What this says is document it, get it in, because we're going to look at it. We want to know what accepted risk you're taking. Why haven't you updated or modernized some things? And if you haven't, then what are the compensating controls that you have in place in order to mitigate the risk since it's still operational? That, I think, is what's different in this, is when you start really looking at the time frames, you can't do a plan for the plan. This is your implementation plan of how you're going to move forward.
And it seems to follow up the assessment with a plan to, well, as they put it, address the immediate unmet budgetary needs necessary to manage risk.
When you send in this risk plan, right, and then when you're looking at going across and really saying, okay, based on the framework, here's what I have, then the director of OMB and his staff are going to be looking at that and say, okay, well, maybe they're willing to do this within this department or agency, but as the saying goes, you know, we're only as strong as our weakest link. So there may be some things that are happening within a smaller agency, but that they're providing services across the board or collecting data across the board, for example, like OPM, right? I mean, that's the quintessential example to use, that maybe what they deem as an acceptable risk is not based on some of the things that they have. And so we got to take a look at the resources and make sure that that is specifically addressed and that everybody who is involved also accepts the risk.
We're speaking with Karen Evans, chairman of the U.S. Cyber Challenge and a former federal IT executive. You mentioned earlier the executive order seems to acknowledge the fact that a lot of work has been done. What's your take on the response that the federal government had when the WannaCry virus came out? It seemed like they avoided damage then because it looks like they were really on top of it.
And I think that that's a great example, right? So you want to leverage that success going forward. So there was real diligence paid in the last administration with the cyber sprint, making sure that you have things automated to the extent that you can about patch management and all these other types of activities that fall under cyber hygiene. This executive order is building upon that success and then saying, okay, what's the next level? That's why it's talking about things like to do shared services, how you have to manage the network, how we as providing services to the American people have to really minimize the risk because you're holding their information. So, okay, you've got the basic foundational pieces in. You don't want to lose that attention. You don't want to lose that momentum going forward, which some people may argue that's the case. That's why I really want to focus on this is not a plan for a plan, but this is each agency's implementation plan to meet that overall need for the nation about reducing the risk.
And from what I can tell, reading the analytical perspectives portion of the budget submission, where they talk, it's not that many pages, like only about 6 or 7 pages on IT, but there's a definite mention of cybersecurity there too, which appears to me like they want to follow this up in the budget and also the philosophy behind the budget that they have submitted for IT, which is going up, by the way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I really believe that if you look at what is best way to secure the information assets of the nation, and you look at things from a national security perspective, from a minimization of the risk, how do you maintain services, that if you do that correctly, you will gain the cost and the efficiencies that you want. So in the short term, it may have to go up in order to get everybody to the acceptable risk level. But in the long term, the overall cost should go down because now what you've done is you're effectively using technology. You don't have, for example, every agency trying to build out a network operations center and a security operations center. You don't have every agency trying to build out financial management systems and things like that. What you can really do is get to what are the types of transactions agencies are doing, and then really try to get to information technology as a utility, and that you're really focusing on the services that you provide and pay for transactions and services.
When you were an IT executive in the White House, you had the ability to push some of these initiatives during the Bush administration. And of course, Obama administration also had they changed the title to federal CIO, and someone was in that slot pretty much the whole time. It seems like that's the missing link here to pushing this thing over the line, is that crucial appointment.
You know, you have to get the focus and to get the things at the higher level. And I don't know that you can't get much more focus than the president chairing a board like the American Technology Council, right? And so that really, if you look at how private industry runs, for example, or if you look at how the agencies have, OMB has some of these plans up, that that really is your capital investment board. And so as agencies put together the plans, as you put together the resources, you're going to be held accountable. The secretaries are going to be held accountable for their implementation plans to realize those milestones and those investments. I think the key positions are in place, and then you're just talking about the next level down to ensure execution happens. So you've got all the key members that are working on this together with the American Innovation Office, the Technology Council, the National Security Council. So I'm sure that you will then see the next appointments happening to make sure that the execution of this occurs within the time frames that are specified in this executive order.
Karen Evans is chairman of the U.S. Cyber Challenge and a former federal IT executive. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom, for having me on.
Find a link to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.